Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in several languages are available all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. Now, on today's broadcast, I'll be returning to my teaching from the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is fascinating. I know there are some things in it that are hard to understand, but there's also much in it that we can understand. And what we understand can encourage us in our walk with Jesus. So I hope you can stay with me, because in a few moments we'll begin our study, Kingdoms in Succession, from Daniel chapter 8. But right now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your great love and mercy to us. We confess that without your saving grace and transforming power, we too would be lost in the depths of our sin. We thank you for the testimony of this listener in Nepal, whose life has been radically changed. And now, Father, as I open the pages of Holy Scripture, I pray that your Holy Spirit will shine the light of truth into my heart and into the heart of my listening friend. Encourage our hearts together as we see how you have worked in times past. And may what you have done in the past inspire our confidence in you for the future. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In our study in the book of Daniel, we've come to chapter 8. We learned earlier that the events of chapter 7 occur chronologically between chapters 4 and 5. This was in the first year of King Belshazzar's reign. Daniel's subsequent vision, recorded here in chapter 8, occurs in the third year of Belshazzar's reign. So that's also in the interval between chapters 4 and 5. As we noted earlier, the first half of the book of Daniel provides a general overview of human history, and especially the times of the Gentiles, and the relationship of Israel to world history. The second half of the book provides much more detailed explanations, and we looked at some of those details in our study of chapter 7. Now, in Daniel chapter 8, God pulls back the curtain of human history a little bit farther, and he gives us even more detailed information about his plans. Which leads to the question, why do we need all these details? Well, first of all, and this is critical in our day, these details reassure us that God can predict the future with total accuracy and with absolute certainty. And God wanted Israel and us to know that ultimately there will be a world ruler so powerful that he will try to usurp God's position. In the New Testament, that ruler is called the Antichrist. The men and kingdoms that we look at in our text were prototypes, if you will, of that coming one who is referred to as the man of sin and the son of perdition. Secondly, I believe these revelations Daniel received provided hope and encouragement. Hope and encouragement to the people of Israel in some of their darkest hours of suffering. And these details also help prepare us for what still lies ahead in the future. If you and I believe in the inspiration of Scripture and its inerrancy, we can be confident that God knew we needed this portion of His divine revelation. So with that in mind, we turn to the text, Daniel chapter 8 and verses 1 to 27. Today, I'm only going to read the first 14 verses of our text, because we're not going to be able to cover this teaching in just one program. So listen now as I read Daniel chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, to me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me the first time. I saw in the vision, and it so happened while I was looking, that I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision that I was beside the river Ulai. Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and there, standing beside the river, was a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high. But one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, so that no animal could withstand him, nor was there any that could deliver from his hand. But he did according to his will, and became great. And as I was considering, suddenly a male goat came from the west, across the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Then he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with furious power. And I saw him confronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, and broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled him. And there was no one that could deliver the ram from his hand. Therefore, the male goat grew very great. But when he became strong, the large horn was broken. And in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth down to the ground. He did all this and prospered. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking, "How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?" And he said to me, "For 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed." As we begin our study of chapter 8, there are several things we should be aware of. First of all, the language in the original text switches from Aramaic to Hebrew. Now you might say, why is that important? Because God is showing Daniel what will happen in the future, especially as it relates to the people of Israel. While we are looking at the succession of Gentile kingdoms, these kingdoms are set in the context of their impact on the Jewish people. In Daniel's vision, recorded in chapter 7, we saw the broad sweep of human history from Nebuchadnezzar to the end of time as we know it. Here in chapter 8, Daniel's vision is narrower. It's more focused on the Medo-Persian and the Greek empires. And there's another difference between chapter 7 and 8. It's the way Daniel received these visions. If you recall, in chapter 7, he has a dream containing the vision. In chapter 8, he's apparently awake as the vision begins to unfold. And we should also note the linkage between these two visions, especially the use of horns as a symbol of power. This symbolism was common in the ancient Near East, and these horns are referred to numerous times in this chapter. So let's move now to our exploration of the text and look first at the kingdom of Medo-Persia. Daniel tells us in verse 1 that this vision was given to him after the previous one, the one that's recorded in chapter 7. And this one took place in the third year of Belshazzar's reign. In this vision, he was transported from Babylon to Shushan. Now, at the time Daniel was having this vision, Shushan, or Susa, wasn't even under Babylonian control. but Daniel specifically mentions the city and a palace. Susa is familiar to us because it was the place where Queen Esther lived, and it was also the city from which Nehemiah was sent back to Jerusalem. It became the governmental seat of the Medo-Persian Empire. And then Daniel also mentions the river Ulai. We learn from archaeology that this most likely wasn't a real river, but actually a man-made canal that connected two rivers in the area. Daniel finds himself projected into a future time and to a future site that would become an important capital in the kingdom of Persia. These opening verses become the stage for the great drama that is unfolded in Daniel's vision, and that's the conquests of the second and the third empires. In verse 3, Daniel introduces the Medo-Persian kingdom as represented by a ram with two horns. John MacArthur states that the Hebrew text is emphatic in designating this single ram. You and I know that normally sheep and goats come in flocks, but this is a single ram. This kingdom corresponds to the breast of silver in the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream in chapter 2, and it also corresponds to the image of the bear Daniel saw in his vision in chapter 7. And remember, that bear Daniel saw was raised up on one side, signifying that side was more powerful than the other side. Now, again, remember that horns symbolize power. So not only does this ram have two horns, which is normal, but they're big horns. This is a powerful animal. And as Daniel watches, he notices that the one horn is higher than the other. But the higher one, or the stronger one, we might say, came up last. And no one can withstand the onslaught of this ram or deliver others from his power. In just 10 years, Cyrus the Persian conquered the then known world. His progress was irresistible. And remember something else. God referred to Cyrus as my shepherd in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 28. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio or a printed copy of this teaching, just write and request it by its title, Kingdoms in Succession. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Kingdoms in Succession. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Kingdoms in Succession. I'd be happy to send one to you. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Kingdoms in Succession. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.